very difficult to get around the town, you know, trying to navigate, but they're getting the main roads open slowly, and which is helping. And, you know, obviously they pushed the school year off a week, so hopefully that doesn't get pushed anymore and they can get back out there and, you know, they need to go back to school.
Yeah, Oxford parents are just hoping and praying that we keep seeing more and more roadways open up after the historic flooding last month really rocked Oxford and some of the surrounding communities. And joining us now for the latest update, we've been trying to check in with the DOT on a weekly basis after what happened on August 18th. We have Josh Morgan with us this morning with Connecticut Department of Transportation joining us for the very latest. Josh, welcome back. How are you?
Good morning, Melissa. Thanks for having me.
So let's talk about the very latest with road closures. I know in our news this morning, great news that a section of Route 67 in Oxford, very heavily washed out after last month's storms, reopened. And that is great news, certainly, as we get closer and closer to the first day of school this Thursday for Oxford. What else can you tell us has transpired since August 18th? And we learned that there were a lot of washouts, but slowly we are rebuilding still this morning.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that was just an incredibly historic storm event at the height, you know, that Monday, August 19th. We were doing damage assessments, you know, close to 30 roads, state roads were closed. Since that time, we've opened more than 25 roads, either fully or at least partially to local traffic. So this has been no exaggeration, an around-the-clock effort from the crews who are cleaning up debris to the inspectors who are trying to get an assessment of the damage and the engineers and the designers coming up with plans to put the permanent fixes in place. So still some work to do, but we've had some good successes opening up roads and announced some on Friday night and Saturday night. Like you mentioned, Oxford Route 67, a portion of that road was open, which is great news for that community.
Josh, I mean, talk about how extensive the work is. It's not as simple as just doing a little patchwork and reopening roads, right? I mean, most of these road closures that we're seeing, there's a lot of rebuilding to just be able to put pavement back into place, correct?
Yeah, it's not just, you know, some minor damage. It's sections of road completely gone. Even if the asphalt, the blacktop looks like it's still there, if you go around the side, all of the material underneath is completely gone. So obviously you can't have any traffic going across that road. So we've been putting up some before and after photos on our social media pages to really illustrate the damage, the breadth of, you know, what had happened with that water was going through these communities. So it's not as simple as, hey, let's put a little bit of dirt here and pave. It's an extensive repair effort, and the crews are just really making some incredible progress over the last 2 weeks.
So what is your handle if people want to see some of those before and after photos?
Yeah, at CTDOT Official. You can find us on Instagram, an X. We're posting updates there. And we also have an interactive storm response map that we launched at the end of last week. If people go to the DOT website, it's ct.gov/DOT. There's a button right there so you can see all the roads which have reopened, the ones that are still currently closed, and an estimated recovery time for when do you think we're going to be able to get those roads opened.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. Again, Josh Morgan's here from the Connecticut Department of Transportation. I'm actually on your Facebook page right now, and over the weekend, it shows all of Route 53 through Reading and Weston now open, and some of these photos are just extraordinary. I love the comments, though, Josh, from some of our residents in Connecticut saying most of the heroes don't wear capes, which is so true. I mean, talk about just the incredibly quick effort of DOT workers and contractors coming together. Because one of the things that we found, Josh, you know, just for some of these communities, for example, in Oxford, Monroe, Seymour, these were businesses and homes that didn't have flood insurance because why in the world would they? They weren't living in flood zones. I mean, this was historic what happened, and kind of goes along with the roads and what they went through as well. This was we didn't prepare, I guess, for this because we had never anticipated something like this happening. So to see the turnaround, I mean, 2-3 weeks later is pretty extraordinary when you think about how, I'm going to say, ill-prepared we were for this type of an event to happen.
Yeah, I mean, the infrastructure just can't handle that amount of flow. So the debris piled up, it blocked culverts, it blocked drains, just, you know, basically roaring rivers that were going over the tops of the road and you know, floodwaters, those raging waters are incredibly dangerous, incredibly destructive. And, you know, they left a whole bunch of cleanup and a whole bunch of repairs needed when the rains finally stopped on August 18th. So, but to your point about the comments, the members of the public have just been so incredibly gracious with the state, with our crews, the contractors, the local public works and the municipalities, which are trying to build back. People, I think, generally understand that this was a historic event and it's going to take time to repair. So for the people who are commenting on social media, we see those. We appreciate those comments. And we also know that our crews and local crews are getting those comments as well. You know, it's easy to see the equipment out there, the hard hat, the safety vest. And a lot of times neighbors are coming out and saying, hey, can I get you a bottle of water? Or do you want something to eat? Or maybe they're just saying, you know, thanks for what you're doing out here. So that really means a lot to us.
And again, Josh Morgan is here with the DOT. And besides the roadways, Josh, another thing that we talked actually with Garrett Ucolito about the last time he was on the show was there was a section of, I believe it was the Waterbury train line that, you know, that was going to be heavily impacted for weeks, if not maybe even months, you know, because part of the track is now not being supported by basically any infrastructure. What's the latest on that timeline?
Yeah, there was two significant washouts, one near Seymour, another near Beacon Falls. The Beacon Falls location is a little bit easier for repairs. Seymour, it's a little bit more challenging. It's right near the Kinneytown Dam, and site access is really difficult in terms of how do you get the material, how do you get the equipment out there onto the railroad. So we're hoping by the end of this week, we'll have a nice path forward with a more detailed cost estimate and a timeline. But, you know, until further notice, at least for the next several weeks, trains are not going to be running on the Waterbury line, and service will be substituted with buses. We can't get trains running again until these areas are completely repaired, and site access is a challenge. You know, we're looking at building temporary roads to get out to some of these locations, so certainly have some work ahead of us.
And we have Josh Morgan here from Connecticut's Department of Transportation. Let's go from historic flooding, the aftermath, and the cleanup, which Josh just gave us the most up-to-date information we have on our roads reopening and some that still need improvements to be done, and that could take weeks, maybe even months. We'll keep you posted on that. I do want to talk about some other projects like the Norwalk Bridge, also the Fairfield Avenue Bridge, even a public hearing coming up later this month that will certainly impact commuters and residents in the Norwalk area. We're going to talk about that in a minute. But Josh, you just informed me during the commercial break that we did, in fact, have a handful of wrong way driving incidents over just what, the holiday weekend?
Yeah, we had five from Friday through this morning. So basically one or two every night over the holiday weekend. And these are just ones that we know about because our systems, as I've explained before, alert our Highway Operations Center. They alert Connecticut State Police. So these are wrong way instances where we have the detection systems. There likely could have been others where we don't have the systems installed yet, but just really shocking when we are seeing these basically every weekend, a handful of wrong way drivers. Thankfully, the systems are working as designed, as intended. The lights are flashing. The cars are stopping and turning around. So to date, since the start of this year, more than 80 wrong way drivers have been stopped by these systems, course corrected, exited the highway. We look at that as at least 80 lives saved. So just really tremendous work by the crews who are installing these systems around Connecticut.
And I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but certainly Josh, I think, is being very forgiving with that because we have seen these wrong way situations where it certainly is usually more than one life taken. I mean, just the incident on the Merritt Parkway earlier this year, that was devastating. I mean, four lives were taken in that. There were three victims in the car that was smashed into, and then the wrong way driver, all of them lost their lives. And that was just one incident. So, you know, when we hear that 80 close calls, if you will, because of these detection systems, it certainly would have most likely been higher than that. You know, when you hear about that, Josh, can you just kind of refresh for people? When you say these detection systems, these are the on and off ramp systems that the DOT started putting into place well over a year ago. The question I get a lot from listeners, are these going to be on every on and off ramp eventually across Connecticut?
We're going to do as many as we possibly can. There's 236 ramps, which we've identified as being the highest risk. So that's certainly where we're heading. We have more than 70 active currently. We'll have more than 100 by the end of this year. It's unlikely that we'll be able to get every single ramp in Connecticut, but what we're looking at is additional countermeasures. So either more signs, more reflective devices on the guide rails, you know, things that maybe can improve safety. But, you know, we're doing as much as we can with the money that we currently have available. And the systems have proven to be effective at saving lives.
Mm. And we actually had state police on the show earlier this morning, and they had said they had responded to over 5,000 calls for service. There were well over 300 accidents in the Friday to Monday span. But when we specifically asked about wrong way crashes, I mean, they had said we don't know if those crashes were wrong way. They didn't have that. But as far as how many wrong way incidents, you're saying we had five between Friday and this morning. Was this in the overnight hours this morning?
Yeah. These are happening at, midnight, 1 a.m., 2 a.m. So in what we see when we look at the data, it's generally ramps that are, close to bars, restaurants. So, you know, last call, and then someone makes that decision to drive when they shouldn't be driving. Or it could be rainy. It could be disorienting out there. So a lot of these are happening in those overnight hours, those really early morning hours. So, again, good news that the systems are working. Obviously, when they are activated, we get in touch with state police, dispatch a trooper, try to find that vehicle just in case if that driver is impaired, the troopers are able to make contact and make a stop to check to make sure everything's okay. So certainly rely on our law enforcement partners to keep our roadways safe.
So Josh Morgan is here with an update on wrong way driving situations in Connecticut. And we know that the DOT has been very focused on curbing that issue, that we've really seen an uptick since 2022 here in Connecticut. We have a real problem with it. And just this weekend, just this holiday weekend, five wrong way incidents were detected with these state detection systems. So we know it's a continued issue that we are working to tackle here in Connecticut. I also do want to give a little bit of time, Josh, to some of the ongoing projects that the DOT is working on, the Norwalk Bridge, as well as Fairfield Avenue Bridge. Can you give us the very latest on that?
Yeah, we're making really good progress down in Norwalk, the Fairfield Avenue Bridge over I-95. That's the bridge that had to be taken down after a vehicle fire earlier this spring. So we actually have the steel supports installed. Right now, the utility companies are getting their gas, water, internet, things like that across the bridge. Once that's completed, we'll be able to start pouring the bridge deck. We are still making really good progress, still on pace to have that roadway reopened to traffic in early 2025.
And another thing, too, I want to give people the heads up. September 10th, it sounds like the DOT is doing a public hearing. This is really going to impact the Norwalk area, commuters and residents. Tell us about Route 7.
Yeah, this is going to be an in-person meeting. It's going to be at Cranberry Elementary School in Norwalk. So we have a proposed project from Route 7 in Gristmill Road, looking at improving traffic flow, looking at the new traffic signals, trying to modernize the area, and also install some sidewalks, close those gaps. There's a lot of communities where you have a sidewalk for a stretch and then it just goes away and then comes back again further down the road. Certainly looking to close those gaps, make it safer for all roadway users. So next Tuesday, September 10th at 6 p.m. at Cranberry Elementary School, if the public wants to come out. And we'll also have information posted on our website so people can review the plans and comment even if they can't make it in person.
And your website is on the state website?
Yep, ct.gov/DOT. We got a big button there right on the homepage that says upcoming meetings. So we're fully transparent, want people to know what's going on in their communities around the state.
We so appreciate that. Josh Morgan, thank you for checking in with us. A lot of big updates and didn't know about the wrong way detection over the weekend. So appreciate that news as well. Thank you for your time. We'll talk again very soon.
Always great talking to you, Melissa. Take care.
All right, you too. Josh Morgan of the Connecticut Department of Transportation here on WICC.